WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. More pro-Palestinian protests broken up on college campuses.
Time to leave! You're trespassing! Time to leave!
Police in Oregon have cleared out a Portland State Library occupied by demonstrators for the second time this week. They've made 8 more arrests. But protesters like this woman are resolute.
Protesters that aren't harming human beings. These lives are more important than a spray paint job or a window.
Other college demonstrations are breaking up as well. CBS's Jared Hill reports.
Protesters at the University of Minnesota voluntarily started taking down their tents after the university agreed to let protesters address the Board of Regents about their demands that the school divest from Israel.
I think that it's great if the university and the protesters can meet some sort of agreement.
In Manhattan, the DA is now investigating after the NYPD says an officer accidentally fired their gun during the sweep of Hamilton Hall at Columbia University, though no one was injured.
Flooding spawned by severe storms getting worse in Texas. Roads in and around Houston are swamped, and the water so deep you can barely see the tops of garages in some neighborhoods. The water in Vanessa Russell's backyard in Cold Spring, waist deep.
It's been stressful. I haven't slept good in like 4 nights, just worried about everything going on. But it's really cool to have a nice community where everybody's helping each other out, trying to get everybody out.
At least 2 people were injured in a tornado in central Texas. One of the country's busiest highways is shut down after a fiery fuel tanker crash that caused a chain reaction. It's created a nightmare for truckers and commuters in southwestern Connecticut. But Governor Ned Lamont says they hope to have a damaged bridge removed soon.
If all goes well, and I'll monitor this, we should have a 2-way commuting back on I-95 as early as Monday morning.
Former President Trump will be back in court for another day of testimony in his criminal trial. Correspondent Errol Barnett from New York.
Thursday's testimony ended with a standout recording, a conversation between Donald Trump and his lawyer at the time, Michael Cohen, discussing the hush money payment to Playboy model Karen McDougal before the 2016 election and specifically how to finance it.
The night sky will sparkle over the next couple of days. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood says we're in for a meteor shower.
This shower is best seen from the southern hemisphere, but viewers up late this weekend in North America could get a spectacular show, assuming clear, dark skies.
And it's not just any old dusty batch of space junk. It's debris from Halley's Comet. S&P futures are up 18. Dow futures ahead 299. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Amtrak will start a second passenger train route between St. Paul and Chicago later this month. The Borealis trains begin service on the 21st. The new trains follow the current Empire Builder route between St. Paul and Milwaukee and the Hiawatha stops between Milwaukee and Chicago. There'll be 8 stops in Wisconsin. Donald Trump telling a Waukesha rally Wednesday he supports the law enforcement crackdown on the pro-Palestinian protest encampment at UW-Madison.
To every college president, I say remove the encampments immediately, vanquish the radicals, and take back our campuses for all of the normal students who want a safe place from which to learn.
Police say 34 people were arrested, but only 4 of them went to jail. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose to the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks battled but could not keep up with the Pacers, who won 120-98, ending the Bucks' season. Chris Middleton, playing on sprained ankles, not making it out of the first round of the playoffs again.
It just sucks. Give it your all, you don't win. It sucks. Simple as that. I mean, losing sucks. End of your season sucks. it's part of it. You move on. Yeah, that's all.
Pat Beverly traded to Milwaukee in February. Is not sure where he'll be next season.
I'm excited to see what new home I'm at. If I'm here, if I'm, you know, wherever. Obviously, we don't know what the future may hold, but lose the first round. I'm not the excuse type of guy, so I felt like we really should have won the series, but we came up short.
Baseball, the Brewers in Chicago against the Cubs and manager Craig Counsell this weekend. NFL, the Packers' two-day rookie minicamp is underway. 11 new draft picks and around another 20 undrafted players at practice in Green Bay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny and warmer today. We'll get to 70 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 47 tomorrow. Scattered rain in the morning. We could get a quarter inch or more with clearing in the afternoon, high of 60. Sunday, sunny, warmer, 67. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, recombobulation with Dan Schaefer, National Space Day, Bob Bonadour from the Planetarium, and Matt Nair on Air's new ornithologist. Join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. This is 93.5 The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning and welcome back. It's 7:06. Nice to have you along here on this Friday, May 3rd, 2024. Coming up in this hour, we're going to do counsel and counsel. A little bit of legal counsel and a little bit of Craig counsel. We'll be joined by our Friday regulars. That would include media critiques from Stop the Press's writer Mark Jacob, a review of this week's Trump legal woes with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, and Dan Schumacher has an update on the future of Northland College and a preview of this weekend's Brewers-Cubs series. The first one since Craig counsel left the Brewers to go manage a division rival. So a lot of ground to cover today, and you can join us along the way if you'd like. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can call it, you can text it, or you can use the Civic Media app, or you can comment on one of the many Facebook pages where you can see Up North News Radio. Watch us do the show, put a comment on there, and we may mention it on air as well. Haven't talked about sunrise and sunset and how glorious it's getting on, at both ends of the clock here. Here in Chippewa Falls, sunrise is now at 5:50, and sunset is not until 8:14. It's just a beautiful thing. Not that we could see it here today. It is really foggy. Rob from Tigerton says, good morning. The sun is out. It's 47 there. We got a half inch of rain yesterday with all the recent rain in the last week. The grass is growing fast. He's busy mowing lawns and noting Christopher Cross's birthday. He talks about the song back in 1983, All Right, Think We're Gonna Make It. He said CBS used it at the conclusion of the NCAA basketball tournament, and that's what led to the One Shining Moment song that they have going on today. So who knew? One Shining Moment, the one of the biggest sports television cliches, was all because they didn't want to have to use Christopher Cross every year at the end of the NBA Finals.
How do we save some money? This Christopher Cross guy is expensive.
You know, well, talent like that. I mean, come on.
He's an Academy Award winner.
So Monday on the program, we will have the director of the documentary Bad River. We had her on back when the documentary was first premiering. This is the one about the Bad River community of Lake Superior, Chippewa, and their legal fight to get an Enbridge petroleum pipeline moved off of tribal lands. It's 60 to 70 years old. It is, you know, constantly a source of concern that it could leak. The company is looking to maybe reroute it, you know, around the area, but it would still be in the Bad River watershed. You've got conflicting treaties that come into play on this. And so we will get an update on the legal case and the popularity of the documentary that's coming up on Monday. In our newsletter, which you can find at upnorthnewswi.com, we've got an article in there that says, no, you're not imagining things. Yeah, yes, there's a lot more deer, a lot more roadkill out there, and to watch out for them this time of year as they are moving along. That and many stories can be found in the newsletter. Sign up there at upnorthnewswi.com. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, reporter Jesse O'Poyne saying that the Biden campaign has confirmed to them that President Joe Biden will return to Wisconsin for the fourth time this year when he comes to the Racine area on May 8th. Next Wednesday, he will deliver official remarks and then he will hold a campaign event. The campaign of the Wisconsin Democratic campaign manager, Garen Randolph, says that the president is showing up to talk about issues that matter most to us, including his administration's historic investments in our communities, economic gains made under his leadership, and he and Vice President Harris's commitment to defending fundamental freedoms. And of course, this comes on the heels of former President Donald Trump making his second stop of the year in Wisconsin, having been in Waukesha a couple of days ago, and frankly, all of the reaction that resulted from it and his Time magazine interview as well, which, again, has given many people pause for concern. So expect the president to talk about that as well next week. The Biden campaign in the announcement also highlighted their commitment to Wisconsin, noting this is the first time that the Democratic presidential nominee has made Milwaukee the state campaign headquarters in at least two decades, and noted that the Republican National Committee declined to renew its lease in its Hispanic Outreach Center on Milwaukee's south side, and that location is now slated to become an ice cream shop. So maybe not working as hard as they once said they were on doing voter outreach. For folks who would like to be watching the Brewers games and who have Comcast, well, things are bad and they're not going to get better anytime soon, the way it sounds. Comcast has blacked out 15 different regional sports networks offered by Bally Sports, escalating a contract dispute that is affecting Comcast customers who want to watch the Brewers, as well as the Twins. Just a whole host of teams on here. The Twins and Brewers fans are caught up in this as well. It stretches over nine states. Diamond Sports Group, which distributes the Bally Networks, calls the blackout disappointing and blames Comcast for refusing to engage in substantive discussions. Comcast, meanwhile, says Diamond has declined several of its offers, such as allowing Diamond to unilaterally renew its existing agreement for a year. So, as a result, Comcast said it no longer held rights to the sports broadcast as of Wednesday. No choice but to cut them off, but it will credit customers who are affected by the blackout, saying most will receive monthly credits of $8 to $10. Complicating all of this is Diamond is still trying to emerge from bankruptcy, which it declared just over a year ago. And, of course, this does really talk more about the broader environment for sports broadcast in the age of streaming. There have been sharp declines in pay TV subscriptions for cable and for satellite. Of course, streaming is currently the way to go, but there's absolutely no guarantee, Greg, that you know how we're going to get our sports this season is going to be any different next season. And I've been through these from the standpoint of the cable company having disputes with the broadcast network, and so local affiliates sometimes aren't seen on a cable system or on a satellite dish. And every single time for the years that this has been going on, it just doesn't seem like the only people who lose in this are the customers.
I agree.
The businesses are going to get paid either way.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I've really hesitated about getting Bally Sports over the summer to watch baseball, because I never know what's like. I'm too not informed to understand it. I have an MLB account because I go to games, and MLB said, hey, the Brewers are playing out of town and it's the game of the day. It's free on MLB. I'm like, all right, cool. It turned on MLB and they're like, it's blacked out. I'm like, why is it blacked out? They're not even in town.
Right. And by the way, that's MLB. Okay, you didn't like outsource this to somebody. This is your product on your app that we signed up for and are paying for in some instances to get these things, and then you black them out. Tony writes in on YouTube, MLB needs to own it and get rid of the blackouts. I can watch my hometown Cleveland Guardians, but can't watch the Brewers from up in the Hayward area. Yeah. It's so dumb.
Yeah.
Tony, you need to add even more O's to that because it is so dumb.
Yeah.
It's just wrong.
And because of the MLB experience, I'm like, well, I don't want to get Bally's now because I'm afraid every single game is going to be blacked out, even though like more games than ever. I'm like, yeah, but is it though? I don't know.
And I also wonder then, I mean, which would you take? I just want the stability. I just want to know where it's going to be for the next couple of years here. And, you know, if I think the price is fair, you know, I'll pay it. If I don't, I won't. Mm-hmm. But why should I sign up for anything if, you know, next year or at some point in the middle of this season when they feel like having a fight, you know, I can't see the games that I thought I was paying for. I just want stability.
I agree. And honestly, at this point, I don't understand why the MLB, I mean, and when Tony says the MLB needs to own it, I feel like the MLB just needs to have their own station. You know, it just, I mean, if you said to me, it's not going to be on Bally's, it's not going to be on this, it's only on MLB, you have to pay this price, I'd be like, fine. If I can see all the games guaranteed, I'll pay that price.
Right, exactly. Guarantee me the games because, like Tony writes, you know, the 4-hour drive to Milwaukee is a little tough to make, you know. Although Tony's also not a fan of this 8:15 sunset, you know, as far as an 8 p.m. bedtime for his 2-year-old and his 4-year-old. But, you know, Tony, I'm sorry, sacrifices have to be made. I want the later sunset, and I do too.
Jane and I get in this argument. She's like all about the non spring forward. She wants just time as time during the non-daylight savings time. So I'm like, I like later sunsets.
Oh yeah, big fan. And now at this age when I still have to go to bed early, it used to be if I had to go to bed early while the sun was technically still up, was just kind of, you know, setting, you thought that was a loss. Like, oh, I have to go to bed so early because I have to get up so early. I'm now at the point where it's like, I consider it like a victory.
Yeah.
Like I'm cheating. Like, haha, the sun's still up, but I'm closing these curtains. I'm done with you.
The sun.
Give me some sleep. But Tony doesn't appreciate that. He now says, you're sacrificing children. Yes,
hey,
Tony.
Hey, Tony, guess what?
Must be made.
Guess what, Tony? Not my kids. All right.
We are so mean.
I'm surly on a Friday.
Oh, gosh. Again, if you have any solutions to this that you'd like to suggest, 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call us. You can text us. Somebody texted over the last break that they did not want to like Wrigley Field, but thought it was wonderful and thought it was a great experience.
Yeah.
So and I understand that. You don't have to love the Cubs to love, you know, where they're playing.
And trust me, I do not.
And that's where the Brewers will be for this weekend. They've got 3-day games today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And I've got to get to the times on there because those games start at, there they are, 12:45 is the pregame. News from the Center and Richland Center, WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support, 98Q Country, Park Falls. Joe Ross will be on the mound, taking his 1-3 record up against the Cubs, managed by Craig Counsell, who left to manage the Cubs. After this series, the Brewers head to Kansas City next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, before returning home starting next week, Thursday, to face the St. Louis Cardinals. And I am reasonably certain that we're going to be giving away tickets to that series at some point. And I'm reasonably certain we're going to use the Civic Media app to do so. So get that thing downloaded, get to know the stations and the shows, and looking for ways to make you a winner. We'll have more coming up in just a bit from Courier Newsroom. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitler.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this.
Ha! Tim Santel in just a moment here. First, a reminder that From Courier Newsroom is the Vibes Only podcast with Brian Derrick and Glennis Mahar. This week, they are joined by the president of Next Gen America for a vibe check on the youth vote. How Democrats need to be communicating to young adult voters to hold and strengthen turnout and enthusiasm for Gen Z and millennial voters. They also discuss that Time Magazine article with Trump and some of his closest allies, talking about the dystopia that they would bring in a second Trump term. In the group chat this week, Christy Noem, puppy killer, head to couriernewsroom.com. For more, or wherever you get your podcast. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel joins us now, and he has amicus on Saturday mornings. Amicus, a law review, can be heard live on Saturdays 9 to 11, and again Sunday morning on Civic Media stations around Wisconsin. Jim, how are you?
Pat, good to be with you once again. Bright and sunny here in the southeastern Wisconsin, and looking forward to sun returning to your part of Wisconsin as well very soon.
The fog should lift before too much longer here. So let's start with the Trump trial, the hush money trial, because that's the one that is most active these days. And this week did not, correct me if I'm wrong, did not seem to have the revelations that we heard late last week when the publisher of the National Enquirer was basically admitting to fabricating stories and admitting to catch and kill. There seemed to be a bit more, minutia this week, some formalities. But what was your takeaway from this week's trial activity, other than Trump, again, continually falling asleep?
Yes, aside from his problems in focusing on what's going on in the criminal trial in which he is the defendant, which is a fairly stunning thing even to say out loud. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, you're right. I suppose, in fairness to the former president, you can say that between the 2 weeks, this one was the one that, as you indicated, Pat, was perhaps the less scintillating for a variety of reasons, but I would offer no less important. We saw last week, as you and I discussed, obviously David Pecker, the former publisher of the National Enquirer, coming in and giving everybody this broad structure. He was the first witness providing the information about how this is overall going to play out. It's almost like an opening statement once again, but through some very, what I would offer is compelling testimony from him, fairly controversial in terms of what he did in terms of journalism, but nonetheless giving a lot of information about the big pieces here. And so what we've had beginning late last week and then continuing through much of this week is a series of witnesses who begin to put together what we sometimes call some of the document pieces of this, kind of the transactional pieces. And so you get, for example, just as of yesterday, the day before, the attorney for Karen McDougal and for Stormy Daniels who are coming in to give a little bit more of the information. This is kind of the gritty stuff now about how this transaction actually took place. He was the one who actually accomplished it. And then you also get everybody from the banker last Friday to Donald Trump's own former executive assistant, who provides some additional pieces about how the financial records come into place. It is, from my perspective, and I suspect not yours as well, not really dry, but really very elemental in terms of building for the jury and for all of us as we are watching this, the key pieces, and they do tie together some of the legal issues. You do need to show some transactional things happening here, and you need to show some intent along the way. And everybody right now is, even with various levels of credibility, everybody's consistent in telling their pieces of the story. And I think that's a big takeaway from this past week.
Here's my question, though, when it comes to the jurors and your expectations or setting the expectations for them. Everything you described sounds very professional, above board, elemental, foundational. But when a trial like this starts and you're picking the jury, do you have to actually explicitly explain to them, look, this is not like on TV. We're not going to solve this in 60 minutes. There are going to be some very boring days, but pay attention because they're important. Or does that not happen because you don't want to, you know, offend their sensibilities? How do you communicate what's about to happen to a jury?
Right. Often you do have some questions along the way. I don't know that Judge Marchand included this directly, but you do implicitly convey to the jury exactly what you just said, Pat, which is, this is not movies, this is not television. And along the way, you want to implicitly and not explicitly find some people who are also able to digest some of the gritty stuff, some of the financial things along the way. So you do ask some questions, and you're signaling through that that, yes, indeed, this is not going to be car crashes and explosions all the time. And you've got to be able to follow that as well, because those are equally important. You do send those messages. And frankly, not to return to our former president again, there are times in trials when the judges will also give sort of some continuing instructions about the need to be attentive to all witnesses, regardless of who they are, especially if, and I've had this happen from time to time, you get, as again, the banker who's in last week talking about all these financial records and all the banking issues and those kinds of things. Sometimes you do get jurors who are a little bit dozing off or just not quite as attentive. And the judge does come back and say, you know, we've got to be focused on all this, maybe not singling anybody out in particular, but saying that this is no less important. They're all sworn to tell the truth, and they all provide their specific piece of this. We plainly, I suspect, in the coming weeks are going to return, maybe not to the car crashes and the explosions, hopefully not that at all, but we are going to return, presumably, to some of the big witnesses again, including Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels, arguably Karen McDougal as well. Hope Hicks probably coming up fairly soon. That puts you back into kind of the narrative of this, which we saw with David Pecker at the start.
Okay, but speaking of the former president, I have to ask you about what Donald Trump had to say in the Time Magazine interview, where he said, he indicated he would fire U.S. attorneys who refuse his orders to prosecute someone. If he says you have to prosecute this person, the notion of an independent judiciary goes away. As a former U.S. attorney, tell me what that does to you, thinking that a president could order you to try to, you know, start a criminal investigation against someone without any basis.
Right. It is stunning. It is shocking. We've lost adjectives, right, to describe the things that he is proposing, not only in this, but also this Project 2025 concept that's coming out of the Republican Party, to all of that indicating that we're simply going to ensure that the prosecutors, who are indeed, Pat, as you just said, independent, they make decisions based upon the law and the facts, not upon politics, that those kinds of decisions have got to be separate from any political or partisan approach. This is quite shocking. And I actually have two takeaways from this. Number one, it is the case, and again, I'll go back and describe a little bit of my own history. For about more than 20 years, I was an assistant United States attorney, which means I had civil service protection, and then became the Obama appointee under Barack Obama. And there you do serve at the will of the president. And that means that you can be fired or terminated, not based upon any cause, unlike the civil service appointment. What has Donald Trump said about both of those, if you will? Number one, he's also said, oh, by the way, I'm going to destroy the civil service program, and I'm going to simply go into those people who are these lifelong committed civil servants and go after them as well. That's a part of what he said to Time Magazine. And then, yes, I'm going to reach out to an assistant U.S. attorney, again, politically appointed, but nonetheless required to make these independent choices. And if they don't go after the governor in a state that I don't like, a mayor in a city that I don't like, I'm going to tell them to do that. I will fire them. That is shocking. That is contrary to our Constitution. It's contrary to the ways that we've done things for 240 years. Should be another wake-up call for everybody in America.
One would hope so. You can hear Jim Santel every Saturday morning, 9 to 11 a.m. Plenty more topics to cover as well. Jim, thank you very much.
Pat, always good to be with you. Have a great week. See you again next Friday morning.
Mark Jacob is next. You're up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
And the winner is a bar and grill in Oneida County. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and fiber news on a Friday, quite literally. A bar and grill in Oneida County is the winner of the inaugural Wisconsin Best Beef Burger Contest. We'll find out more about them next.
If you got to take one for the team, at least look to Bobcat Plus to help you out. Bobcat Plus has been keeping you from the aches and the pains of the tough jobs for years. Bobcat Plus carries new and used Bobcat equipment, and all locations have a full service department, parts, and rentals. They're in Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere, featuring a full lineup of compact wheel and truck loaders, mini excavators, compact tractors, zero-turn mowers, hundreds of hard-working attachments, and so much more. Stop in or visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
Congratulations to Pickles Bar and Grill in Hazelhurst, Wisconsin. They took home the inaugural trophy of Wisconsin's Best Burger Contest. The entry? The All-American Burger. Dan Liscott, who is co-owner and head chef for Pickles, explains the beef he selected for his entry.
It was a particular blend I was looking for and I worked with my purveyors on. It's a ground chuck brisket short rib blend. And then it's a half-pound patty, and it's all cooked to order for whatever temperature. You know, our classic All-American, which is lettuce, tomato, onion, and then our smoked garlic sauce.
Hungry yet? That's Dan Liscott. He's one of the co-owners, head chef at Pickles Bar and Grill. Their All-American Burger takes home the inaugural Wisconsin's Best Burger Contest. His co-owner partner, Justin Koshak, said they got so busy they had to rely on other restaurants in the community just to restock their supplies. You want to find all of the Burger Elite 8? Go to beeftips.com, a part of celebrating May as Beef Month.
This is Mike.
Hey.
He's getting a quick haircut at the local barber school.
It's only $5. How bad can it?
Oh! Yikes. Don't be like Mike when it comes to weed control. Get the job done right the first time and plan ahead with Status Herbicide. It delivers elite corn safety and reliable performance, so you don't have to deal with more problems than you bargained for.
No.
Status Herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
And way to go, Wisconsin. We just talked about burgers on top of those burgers many times. Specialty cheese. Wisconsin, again, ranks number one in the nation for the cheese production we bring to the marketplace. 942 million pounds produced within our borders. Keep in mind also, 94 of the state's 117 cheese plants manufacture at least one type of specialty cheese. Wisconsin cheesemakers, again, tops in the nation as far as volume and quality of cheese produced. That's Food News on a Friday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Mostly sunny and warmer today. We'll get to 70 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 47 tomorrow. Scattered rain in the morning. We could get a quarter inch or more with clearing in the afternoon, high of 60. Sunday, sunny, warmer, 67. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it. Unless you're a chameleon.
Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kel DeRoyce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
Frankie Valli of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons turns 90 today. Just too good to be true. 7 o'clock temperatures this hour around the state include 44 here in Chippewa Falls and in Hayward. Park Falls 43, Wausau 46, Green Bay's at 50 already, La Crosse 47, Wisconsin Rapids 48, Oshkosh at 50, Madison 51, Waukesha 52. But now we head down the road a little further to Chicago to meet up with our friend Mark Jacob of the Stop the Press's newsletter and looking at media coverage of the week's events. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Doing fine.
I wish I were doing finer, but we have we on this program have talked for 3 days now about the Trump interview in Time Magazine. And it's not like it hasn't gotten noticed. But again, you still can't help but get the impression that far too many media outlets are either numb about the things that he's saying or honestly don't believe it's anything but bluster. And so I have to admit, I get to the end of the week here just a little bit puzzled again at whether Trump literally has to shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue for them to go, oh, he was serious about this stuff.
Well, the tough thing is that you do have these kind of mainstream outlets like the, you know, New York Times and the Washington Post and ABC News and all that reporting on it day after day. They report what he says, and very, you know, he's talking like a dictator. He just is. And, you know, he wants to, you know, send troops to America's cities uninvited. He wants to, you know, create gigantic camps for millions of Latinos. I mean, it's scary stuff, but the thing that worries me, Pat, is that it just doesn't break through. It doesn't break through to the people who most need to hear about it. And that's a media problem. That's a news delivery problem. In a democracy, you really have to have kind of a set of shared facts based on journalism. And when you have a group of people, you know, the Trump supporters being insulated from real news by stuff like Fox News and Newsmax and OAN and just, you know, and Charlie Kirk and all kinds of just crazy stuff that's lying to them all the time. You know, how do you break through? I mean, I think that my only answer is telling the truth a lot, just repeating, because unfortunately people believe what they hear a lot.
Oh yeah. I mean that's exactly, they learned that's how they got where they are, is if you repeat a lie often enough, you know, people start to believe it. And meanwhile, people say, well, I told the truth that one time. Yeah, right. You know, it's like, no, that's not enough. Now, this particular New York Times headline, I grant you, is a guest essay rather than a news story. But I completely understand why you posted about it. A headline that goes like this: Trump embraces lawlessness, but in the name of a higher law. What the heck is that?
Yeah, you know what that is? That's a right-wing guy submitting to the New York Times, and the New York Times publishing it because of what I call performative objectivity. In other words, they want to say, well, we're fair to everyone, so we're going to print complete crap from some guy who wants to depict Trump as an outlaw hero. That's the phrase he uses. And so it's okay that Trump is breaking the law. He's just being, showing the spirit of America as being an outlaw hero. In other words, I mean, it's crazy the way that's depicted. And you know, what I was said on social media was that, you know, here's the New York Times publishing it just to make the New York Times look fair in their own minds. And they're treating it like it's some sort of Netflix series. I mean, they're creating this kind of fictional depiction of the real, very real thing that's going on in America this year with the election and with the threat of a dictator winning and then goodbye democracy. I mean, to me, Pat, I think that's serious enough. And I think that them ideas thinking, oh, well, here he is. He's an outlaw hero. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that amusing to us? It's, to me, it's them like deciding that they'd rather just kind of, they'd rather story tell than truth tell.
That's a good point. I don't want to take away from any of the validity of this when I talk about Trump's appearance in Waukesha earlier this week. I would note that even Fox News cut away from his speech at some point. Mm-hmm. They had gotten bored with it. And I think, you know, on the one hand, people might think, oh, that's good news. They're finally just, you know, tuning him out. But I do worry a bit that it is just another symptom of becoming numb to Trump, that we don't even have to carry every word because we already believe what he's going to be saying anyway. Between the two appearances that day, one in Waukesha, one in Michigan, did you have any certain thoughts on how those appearances were covered this week?
Well, I think they were covered, you know, with the same kind of alarm that you get over all the speeches when he lies about stuff all the time. And, you know, and just crazy talk, you know, just. And my contention, and I'm going to write about this more in the Stop the Presses newsletter next week, I believe. And that's Stop the Presses, all one word, .news. And it's free. And I'm going to write about the idea that I think even, you know, Fox News, Trump supporters, and Trump politicians, they're all trying to ignore what Trump is saying. They've decided in a kind of a vague way that Trump expresses, you know, their right-wing feelings about things, and they don't want to focus on what he's actually saying because even they don't agree with it. You know, you had this thing from William Barr was on CNN, and that was a real shocker because what William Barr said was, well, yeah, Trump, I think he probably did talk about killing people when he was in the White House, but people were taking that too literally. People were taking that too literally. So you got the president of the United States talking about executing people. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's, I guess that was more locker room talk, except it was in the Oval Office. And so you get that and you get this. So you get this denial and, well, it's just Trump being Trump. Trump doesn't mean what he says. And so even the right wing is trying to avoid facing up to the things that Trump is saying these days because they couldn't support him if they did. So you have that, which is really dangerous when you have this theme of the 2024 Republican campaign, which is, you know, you can trust, you don't believe anything Trump says, but trust him anyway. I mean, that's in effect what the whole mindset is now. And it's really, it's just wacky, Pat. It makes me think that the entire country's dropped acid or something.
we've never, again, such circumstances, you know, we hadn't seen before, like this circumstance. A former president on trial, but has this opportunity every day, twice a day, going in and coming out to stop in a corridor and, you know, just basically it's 3D Twitter. He can just spout whatever he wants, and cable networks quite often take it live or maybe they play it back shortly thereafter. But again, it's not that much different than 2016. When they would have the cameras looking at an empty podium for 10 minutes, just anticipating Trump's arrival, they still can't get enough of him.
Well, did you see what he said yesterday? He said, there's a gag order, so I can't testify, which is, you know, are you kidding me? I mean, to me, that was just a test of how stupid he thinks his audience is, because that's just like such an obvious, stupid lie that the gag order means he can't testify in court. And clearly what he's doing is he doesn't want to testify in court. He'd be a disaster on the stand. He keeps on talking about wanting to testify, but he never does because he's a disaster. Because, you know, the kind of things that you can tell your audience on Fox News, you can't say in court because, you know, it's called perjury when you lie about things. And so, and you know, plus it's not going to play well with the jury. I'm sure the jury is not super happy with him falling asleep in court. I mean, I think they wonder whether he's taking it seriously or not. So what responsible news media ought to do, and that is, I think that was your point, Pat, is how do the news media covers this? And they really should listen to what he says and then report, you know, report 10 minutes later on what he says and frame it right. Frame it. Well, here's Trump saying that he can't testify because there's a gag order, and that's 100% false. And here's why that's false. Here's why he keeps on lying about stuff like that. That's what they ought to do. I mean, just letting it just roll, you know, out of the TV screen into people's minds is not the way to go.
Well, there's a lot of things that they ought to do, and that takes us to economic reporting. The new numbers that just came out less than 15 minutes ago show that U.S. employers added 175,000 jobs in April, a downshift in the pace of hiring, which is actually good news in that the economy isn't overheating, right, and inflation's going to rocket up again, but you just know it's going to be framed in so many different ways instead as, Biden's failing. We're not seeing the job growth that we used to see. Well, yeah, because if we got that job growth, we'd have inflation all over again. Right. You really can't win with economic reporting, it seems.
No, you can't. And if you do raise interest rates in order to kind of cool the economy so that it doesn't overheat with inflation, well, then you're making it hard for people to, you know, buy houses and stuff. So, I mean, it's all a game of, you know, leveling various, you know, metrics. And another thing I can't wait to see, I did not see that news yet, but I knew that there were some experts, because there are plenty of experts, were predicting that the job number would be over 200,000. So if it's less than that, and you say it is, then they'll probably say, well, you know, fewer jobs than expected. And I always wonder about, you know, this expected thing. There's this expectations game being played all the time in which it's good news if it's over the expectation, it's bad news if it's under the expectation. But, you know, there's no who made up the expectation. It's the vibe, Mark.
It's
the vibe. You know, and here we have, you know, and you had yesterday, you had Trump saying, well, you know, this is the worst, much worse economy than I had. Well, look at the job numbers. I mean, it's crazy how much better the Biden economy is on jobs than Trump.
Right. Let's go into a bit of a more difficult situation here, and that would be the demonstrations primarily on college campuses around the country. Now, there's a serious issue behind this. There's a war going on. There are civilians being, you know, that have been or are being massacred on both sides. None of this is about that. Here's the way I'm framing this question to you. Obviously, there's been a lot of coverage, especially when things get, you know, a little violent as police move in. And yet, if you look at, you know, public opinion polls, the amount of Americans for whom this is kind of a big story, it's kind of a big deal, is like around 2-3%. By and large, people are focusing on other economic issues and things like that. My question is whether national and maybe to a degree local media are overplaying this simply because it's new, it involves conflict, but it's not necessarily relevant to their audience, but it's always easy to cover a large crowd. Well, what have you thought of the perspective on the quantity of coverage?
Yeah, I think that you've got it right. It is clearly the idea that, you know, here you have this kind of conflict playing out, you know, publicly. So that's great for the cameras, and anything that's great for the cameras is going to get more publicity. I'm not saying it's not a big issue. It's an important issue, and frankly, I'm excited when young people care enough to protest about things. To me, that is good news for our country when young people are not just kind of signing off. So there's that. But clearly you do have this situation where I think it's being overplayed. And I think that also another reason it's being overplayed is because right-wing media wants to kind of blame Joe Biden for something that the Columbia president and the NYPD are doing, you know. It's not a lack of understanding by Fox News. It's an exploitation of what's going on. They realize that Joe Biden doesn't control what the Columbia president and NYPD do, but they want to pretend otherwise because everything's Biden's fault that happens and nothing's Trump's fault that happened when Trump was president.
No, exploitation is a good way to put it. And then briefly, I just wanted to close with Marjorie Taylor Greene, who says she's going to move to oust the Speaker of the House. But again, who's behind her? In other words, is this too? Is she the perspective on giving her much more airtime than she certainly is worth or has earned based on whatever following she has in Congress?
Well, the most hilarious thing about that was that yesterday in the Washington Post, I open up the Washington Post on my computer, and they have a big headline about Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to, you know, challenge Mike Johnson next week. And then below it, they have a sidebar that says Marjorie Taylor Greene has no following. That was the headline. And I was went, well, no, of course she has no following. But why are you giving it a giant headline if she has no following? I mean, I just thought it was like the most mind-blowingly crazy lack of self-awareness by news media.
You couldn't plan a better side-by-side headline comparison and, you know, have it affect or have it hit the way that this one did. I appreciated it very much. Mark Jacob from the Stop the Presses newsletter, stopthepresses.news. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
See you later, Pat.
When we come back, Dan Schumacher will be here to talk all about Northland College and the Cubs Brewers series coming up this weekend, starting this afternoon. You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety. What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turn 26. Now that might be okay for Eric Hovde. His businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower health care costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
As Mark mentioned, you can find his newsletter at stopthepresses.news, but you can find it there and newsletters from some of our other Courier Newsroom colleagues. Head over to couriernewsroom.com for newsletters from Kia Vakil, Kyle Tharp, Melissa Ryan, and more. All right, we've made it to the end of the week. Dan Schumacher's here, and we get to spend a whole lot of time talking Cubs Brewers rather than what we had feared might be, you know, not so great news, but Northland College has found at least, I don't know how temporary this is, but has found a reprieve, is not going anywhere anytime soon. So we'll talk to him about that. Oh, but first, I missed today's music quiz. If Dan knew which Grateful Dead song was playing in the background.
Ripple.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't toss you a softball as I just handed you the ball and say, hit it yourself.
There's that. All right, well, let's start with Northland here, because not only have they found a way, some financing and some other restructuring to stay open, but apparently with athletics intact, and we've talked about that before, that some schools go down the path of cutting that and others see, you know, athletics as a tool to increase enrollment. So what's the status there this week?
That holds true, Pat. We are, myself and my admissions person, we're joined at the hip right now, moving forward. There's a plan for we have a five-year plan. The school will downsize, of course, in offerings of majors. Of course, that always reflects in the personnel then, which is just the hard part of it all. But we are open. Athletics is fully functional. It was a rough week. I've experienced some things that I have not done in 35 years. So, I mean, we were pretty close to getting even kicked out of our conference for athletics because of the uncertainty. But the president and I did a couple conference calls, video calls, and were able to overcome that and buy us a little bit more time until the announcement came out. So, as I said to a Duluth station yesterday, you know, so many people did so much good work. I don't care if it's the chairman of the board, you know, you could point the fingers at what happened to the institution, but it was 10 years in the making. I mean, it's just that this wasn't an overnight. This wasn't somebody stealing. This was just a structural deficit because of the drop of enrollment. And, you know, you're seeing schools, what are we averaging? One school a week right now since January. It was closed.
It feels like it. I mean, we were talking all about Alverno at the start of the week here. Of course, UW schools as well. So, yeah, I mean, it was not unique to Northland, but each place has to kind of come up with their own unique solution, and you guys feel like you're on the right path for that.
I think the academic curriculum and the adjustment to the overall budget is the key, and it allows us to operate and not operate in a deficit. So it's the majors got cut from, what, 25, 24 down to 8. But when you look at it, it's all data-driven. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by data-driven, the highest enrollment are the majors that we have left. That are, that, you know, we can't have a major. It doesn't make any business sense to have a major where you get two professors for 12 kids. Mm-hmm. You know, those are hard decisions to make, and it just has, those decisions haven't been made over a 10-year period. They finally have.
All right. Well, again, now we get to at least continue following, you building and growing the athletic program up there. So let's get to some other athletics instead. The Milwaukee Brewers are in first place again in the NL Central by one game over.
Give it a minute. Just
your Chicago Cubs.
Yeah.
And so that's, so these two are competing for the top spot in the division over the next three games at Wrigley Field. You jazzed up for it?
I am. I you and I go back and forth for the last bunch of years on this. You, me, and Art. So, it's fun. It's fun. I actually enjoy the Cubs Brewers series and the camaraderie to it more so than the Bears Packers.
Yeah,
it gets a little angry when you're in the mayor. I mean, well, then again, football's an aggressive sport, so there's a little bit of aggression.
Have you seen the Brewers the past few days? It's been a little aggressive there too.
That was a good one.
No,
I did enjoy that one. Everyone getting tossed and getting suspended.
I can't enjoy it because it was all the result of that one umpire tossing Freddie Peralta without any kind of a warning. I mean, just a total ump show. And again, I said I have a lot of respect and admiration for umpires and, you know, referees and all of that, but it also means I'm not going to hesitate to say you blew that. You basically lit the fuse. As far as I'm concerned, they do,
and it seems like it's trending that way. It's been
it
like
does.
That. You know, I watched the game last night, the Bucks game. Mm-hmm. I felt that way during the Bucks. Some fouls were not called, and other ones were. And then players are constantly arguing with the refs, mm-hmm. and it's just, and then last night, I mean, how many times did you see fans interact with the Bucks or the Pacers?
Yeah,
and people got thrown out. I mean, fans that were right behind the basket or right behind the bench got taken out of the game because the referees were controlling it then.
I do worry because, again, you know, it's one thing when you're seeing, you know, like all-star wrestling, but then we start to see that kind of attitude in politics. And then, like, you know, concerts, you've got artists who are getting hit by people throwing things at the stage. Yep. It's like, whose mom raised you guys?
People have a new level of, like, they have an entitlement to interact how they see fit. I mean, we've talked about this.
You saw it a couple of weeks back at the comedy club.
Yeah, it's just people have this sense of, like, I can do what I want, and how dare you tell me I can't? How dare you tell me to be quiet? It's like, I don't know if it was the pandemic. I don't know if it's social media. I think it's all of it. I think it's just, you know, we're rewarding bad behavior online too.
Right. Yeah.
I agree.
I can't tolerate that.
I will tell you one thing I want to make a statement. I see all these protests, and believe me, at Northland, we were ready for something this week at campus because it was happening all over the country. I really believe, because I talked to kids this week, they don't know what they're protesting. I mean, they're out there just for the show, and they got their phones out. Some are there for the show. Some are there that really know what they're fighting about or what they're protesting about. But there's so many other kids that, you know, they don't.
It could be such a learning experience.
Yep.
If the people who, you know, who instigated and who lead these things engaged in more dialogue, talking and trying to persuade their fellow students and faculty, then, you know, bullhorns and barricades and things like that. Again, it's framing. How do you want to get your message out? And yeah, I'm not sure that is happening in the most effective way.
In Columbia University, I think those were all paid agitators.
Then you had the one at UCLA also appears to be quite ugly and is going to be worth worth monitoring. And Dan's going to keep us updated on the campus up there, and we'll follow all the rest around the country. All right, Dan, I have a feeling I may be seeing you at the Mallard later here on day one.
It is day of the Mallard opener.
Oh man, I wish I could go.
The world is good. The world is
good. It is true first day of spring summer for us. All right, have a great day. Greg, see you on Jane's show a little later on. Thanks to all of you for joining us as well on Up North News Radio. We are the digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Thanks for joining us up north. Have a wonderful weekend. See you Monday.
The Tap. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Capital Times entertainment reporter Rob Thomas breaks down The Fall Guy, and Max Inc. host Terry Barr shares new tunes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS.